TV.
Don't ask me how I could have forgotten to mention Waylon Dabbs yesterday, because I had asked him to bring two messages. And Waylon's been off the scene for a while. He went to China for work for 4 years, and now that he's back and done and retired, I said, I need two messages from you. He said, more than happy to do it. And when I was listening to speakers yesterday, I realized it today. It just hit me. Oh my God, I forgot to mention Waylon. I felt so bad. I texted him. And I said, Waylon, I'm so sorry. He shut me up quick. He says, Ender, that stuff doesn't bother me. Don't worry about it. Looking forward to the conference. Can't wait to see the Saints. And Waylon Dabbs will be bringing you two messages. So you got Zender. You got Dabbs. You got Scott Hicko. You got the Pirate. And you got Steven Janowski, also known as Gerudo King. So, come to the conference. Oh, and great news I got today from Paula, and that is that the discount has been extended till May 1st. What a grace. The discount for mentioning when you make a reservation that you're with the Kansas City Scripture Conference. Save a lot of money. So stay at the hotel. You can stay at the hotel now. I was telling people you don't need to stay at the hotel. But now it's a good idea. Book your room. This is God. This is a message from God telling you it's not too late. And you can do this. You know, put some gas in your car and drive. I know it's expensive. And I understand if people can't come, I get it. So anyway, if the fact that Waylon Dabbs is going to be speaking gives you extra motivation, which it should, then go to my website, martinsender.com, get the conference information there, and we will see you in Kansas City, May 15th through 17th. I pray to God that this is the last meeting of the body of Christ here on earth. Nudge, nudge, hint, hint. Okay. Guess what? Andy Lonizak responded. Well, first, somebody sent my video to him. Not just somebody, not just anybody. Of course, it was our brother, Bob Eveland. Who else but Bob Eveland, our friend and brother, who he's the guy who puts up the AI summary of my show every day, which is helpful to some people. I appreciate him doing that. He sent it to Andy Lonizak, the creator of this awful track called Your Life. It only contains, it's very short. Just a few paragraphs in the back. It contains 15 scriptural errors. Andy wrote back, not a happy camper, Andy. Not a happy camper. He wrote this, as the creator of this tract, I have only gotten so far as reading the description. That was enough for him. You slander us and the tract because you misunderstand the tract itself? Question mark. No, I didn't misunderstand the tract. And slander... First of all, Andy, I appreciate you responding. I have nothing against you personally. I'm just telling you, you think your message is biblical. It is not. And I know you're not going to watch the video, so you don't really care that you're wrong. You will care deeply someday very soon, and you will remember this moment. And I'm sorry I made things hot for you at the Great White Throne, because now you have come in contact with the truth, and you absolutely, totally rejected it. So I'm sorry that I did that to you. But I had to do it. I don't know why. I needed material for a show. Your tract was on the ground. God put it there right in front of me. I read it. I found 15 errors, scriptural, biblical mistakes in it. I thought it would be good teaching source for the saints. And I just happened to mention, somebody send this to Andy and see what happens. Well, Andy got it, but he never watched the video. He said the description was enough. As the creator of this tract, I've only gotten so far as reading the description. You slander us. And that first, no, I did not slander you. Slander has to be false. I have to be saying something false about you. I said nothing false about you. I said you had no talent for scriptural exposition. It's not slander. You slander us and the tract. Yeah, I slandered the hell out of the tract because it contains 15 scriptural errors. That's not slander. Actually, no, that's not slander. Slander has to be a lie. I have to be telling lies about you. I am not telling any lies about you. You slander us and the tract because you misunderstand the tract itself? ? No. I spoke poorly of it because I do understand it. I understand it perfectly. And he says, it's asking the reader to think about what happens after death. Okay. And I know Andy believes that immediately upon dying, you're judged and you go to either heaven or hell. And I know that's what he believes because he's an evangelical Christian. And evangelical Christians don't believe anything the scripture has to say about death. Death is cessation of consciousness. But let's give him the benefit of the doubt and actually believe it's asking the reader to think about what happens after death. Let's say he meant to say after resurrection. That's what he meant to say, but he didn't. It's just another mistake, okay? After resurrection. Well, different people are resurrected at different times. Of course, he doesn't realize that either because he's not a careful scholar. Not a Berean here. We're not looking at somebody who's an unashamed workman. In no way is it saying the end is uncertain. It certainly is, and I'll prove it in a second. In no way is it saying the end is uncertain, nor is it questioning Christ's finished work on the cross. I think he meant to say finished. He said finished. Christ was not born in Finland. Finished work on the cross. Give me a break. No, I will not give you a break. You don't deserve a break. You wrote this tract, and you printed hundreds or thousands of them, and I found one in Fort freaking Lauderdale, and I'm supposed to give you a break for writing a tract that contains 15 scriptural errors, provable errors that I'm proving on the air that you don't even care to look at because you don't care, you don't want to know. In no way is it saying the end is uncertain. Oh, yes, it is. Nor is it questioning Christ's finished work on the cross. Yes, it is. Give me a break. No. Repent of your hatred and ridicule. I will not repent because I have no hatred. Well, I take that back. I have no hatred of you, Andy. In fact, I would like to meet you. Actually, not too sure about that, but I would. No, forget it. But I could have a beer with you and talk about your favorite sports team. We could talk about our families, assuming you have one. I have nothing against you personally. I hate your tract. It sucks. That's not slander. That's my opinion of it. It contains 15 scriptural errors and ridicule. So you're not going to read it. Here's what he was offended by. He got, as far as reading the description, here's the description on the video. I found a Christian tract on the ground a few months ago while I was running, and like all Christian tracts, it is full of error. Truth. This one, however, has the audacity to represent the saving work of Christ at the cross with a question mark. Well, I showed you the question mark. There it is. It's right there. The question mark. What happens after death? Question mark. Shouldn't that be an exclamation point? Nope, not in the Christian world. The Christian world declares that the cross of Christ saved absolutely no one. True. True. Everyone is on probation at birth. No one was saved by Jesus Christ. According to, and you would have to admit this if I pressed him, according to Mr. Lonizak, Jesus Christ only made it possible, made salvation possible, opened the door. What you have to do is finish the work by believing in Jesus, somehow finding it within yourself. In spite of the fact that there's no one righteous, no, not one, and not one is seeking out God. Forget that verse. You must seek out God. See, it doesn't work. Andy doesn't realize that. And then I said, the question mark on this particular tract honestly represents the Christian belief that salvation depends on you, not upon Christ. Thus the question mark. The question mark at the point of salvation tells you everything you need to know. And yet this tract at the same time claims to be glorifying Christ. Glorifying Christ? Glorifying Christ with a question mark? Pray for these people. They are in for a world of hurt. And Andy, you're in for a world of hurt at the great white throne. You're not a believer in Jesus Christ. You're a believer in your belief in Jesus Christ. You say in your comment, In no way is it saying the end is uncertain. Okay, let's find out. On Judgment Day, if God were to judge you by these standards, and the standards according to Andy are the Ten Commandments, would you be innocent or guilty? Question mark. There it is. Would you be innocent or guilty? Let's assume that after death, he means upon resurrection. And God is judging you according to the Ten Commandments, which he's not. Judging according to Paul's gospel. I read that yesterday out of Romans chapter 2. Would you be innocent or guilty? That's the question. Would you therefore go to heaven or hell? That's your idea of the only two options. And there is, again, is a question mark. The Bible says that you would be guilty. And that means eternity in hell. Okay, so let's say that let's say that there would be an exclamation point, but it's guilty. Everybody's guilty as charged. But now we're still not at the end, are we? You say that you are not saying that the end is uncertain. But we're not at the end, are we? We're just at the fact that after death, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt there, which you don't deserve, that everyone will be found guilty. What happens next? It's not the end. What happens next? The Bible says that you would be guilty, and that means eternity in hell. Know that God, the just judge of these things, is also rich in mercy, and he sent his son to suffer and die on the cross and take the punishment for sin, then rose from the dead, showing the penalty fully paid. Oh, that's great. There is an exclamation point after that. Fully paid. I wish you would have stopped there, but you didn't. Because it's not fully paid. Especially considering, and you don't consider it fully paid because of what you say next. God commands you to repent and put your faith in Jesus alone for salvation. Put your faith in Jesus alone. But if you have to put your faith in Jesus, it's not Jesus alone, is it? It's Jesus plus your faith. That's a subtle point that Satan has used to scramble your brain on this topic. And every Christian brain, not just you. God commands you to repent and put your faith in Jesus alone for salvation. Don't just believe in Jesus. Don't just believe in Jesus. Trust in him. Like you would trust in a parachute to save you. You don't just believe in a parachute. You put your trust into it by putting it on. That's what you must do. So Jesus didn't pay the full price because there's still something you must do. That's what you must do with the Savior. Cry out to God, confessing and forsaking your sins. Trust what Jesus did for salvation. What did he do for salvation? Made it possible. That's it. He didn't actually save anyone. If he did, then why must I do all these things you say I have to do in order to be saved? If Jesus saved me, Christ, Jesus didn't save anyone. Trust in what Jesus did for salvation. In your mind, it's an offer. That's all it is. It's an offer. Trust in what Jesus did, not in your own deeds. In the same sentence where you're saying don't do anything with your own deeds, you're telling people you better fucking have some deeds here. You better repent and put your faith in Jesus alone. But you're not saved by your own deeds. But you better fucking put your faith and trust in Christ. But don't rely on your own deeds. But put your fucking faith in Christ and repent and, you know. But we're not asking you for any deeds. God promises eternal life and a new heart that will desire righteousness. So the question mark is legitimate, I mean, in your twisted mind, after all, because the question mark is, what will the reader of your tract do? And you say the end is certain? The end is uncertain for every single human being, and that's why you made this tract, because you believe the end is uncertain. If I made a tract, I would claim that the end is certain and that salvation was won for every single human being at the cross. Where does faith come in then, Andy? That would be a legitimate question for you to ask me. Faith is the caboose on the engine. Faith is the caboose that God gives people after he saves them, not before. He gives them the faith to believe in Christ alone. And it's not a faith that has to be commanded. It's not a faith that can be worked up independently. It is a faith that can only come as a gift of God, Romans 12:3. But you don't believe faith is a gift. You believe faith is an independent action of the will. That's where your question mark comes in. You don't understand that. In no way is it saying the end is uncertain. It's uncertain for every single person that picks up this tract in your mind. Of course it's uncertain. Nor is it questioning Christ's finished work on the cross. It's doing the very thing. It's not only questioning Christ's finished work on the cross, it's denying it. How is it finished? If it was finished, everybody would be saved. And that's the fact, Andy. Everybody is saved. But not everyone has aeonian life. Everyone's saved for eternity. The end is secure, but not everyone has aeonian life. That's what the scriptures speak of. But since you don't never heard that word because you haven't looked at the Greek, you haven't realized that this word, aeonian, and its corresponding noun, eon, it's a period of time, and the adjective pertains to a period of time, this word appears over 175 times in the Greek scriptures. This is what's at stake with belief and faith, putting your faith in Christ. It's accepting a fact, not putting your faith in a fiction in order to make it a fact. You can't do that anyway. What does belief in a fiction, how can belief in a fiction make it a fact? How can a belief in a Christ that didn't save me, but you say he saved me, but what you mean is he only gave me an opportunity to save myself if I can work up the faith, if I can repent of my sins, if I can stop sinning, if I read the Bible every day. Not that you're asking for any deeds. Oh, no. No, it has nothing to do with your deeds. Just better fucking produce these following deeds. Number one, repent of all your sins. Number two, read your Bible every day. Number three, forsake all your sins. Number four, stop sinning. Number five, put all your faith in Christ alone. But what about my deeds? Well, and your deeds. But don't think we're teaching deeds here. Andy, you're a mixed up mess. And you've been befuddled and dumbfounded and made stupid by the Christian religion. This is not slander. It's the truth. And I don't know if God will give you the spiritual balls to watch this video. Probably not. But this was your hour of visitation. This was God visiting you with the truth. And you rejected it flatly. You didn't even want to read it. You just read what I wrote. And I wrote to the truth. The Christian world declares that the cross of Christ saved absolutely no one. It didn't. It's not a finished work according to you. According to me, it is. I teach a finished work. Christ said it is finished. What's finished? Took the sins of the world away. Gee, what would stop everyone from being saved then? Nothing. Everyone is saved. Then why does God tell people to believe? Because belief is something that follows salvation. It's not the quarter that kicks out the gumball of salvation. Faith acquaints us with a fact. Faith doesn't make fiction into fact. Faith accompanies aeonian life. Aeonian life is an early life. Aeonian life gets you snatched away if you're in the body of Christ. Aeonian life gets you the former resurrection if you're attached to the Israel gospel. And you'll get to enjoy eons 4 and 5. Eon 4 is the kingdom eon. Eon 5 is the new heavens and the new earth, you see. So this tract is very primitive, very juvenile, very confusing, contradictory left and right. And so is Ray Comfort, by the way. And so, give me a break. You're getting your break now. This is your big break. This is your hour of visitation. You're blowing it by not even being interested in watching the video. But this is hard on the flesh. I know. It's like I almost, it's impossible for you. I would still implore you to believe in the finished work of Christ. Consider that it's finished. It's so rare for you to get this. It would take an act of God, an act of the Spirit. And I pray, because that's the only thing that could possibly save you into aeonian life, Andy, is an act of God commensurate with the power of the Holy Spirit that brought Saul to the ground on the road to Damascus. You're on the road to Damascus to kill the true God. You don't understand the true God. You don't know the true God. You've been deceived by a deceiving spirit. You're an enemy of the very cross that you purport to support. You're an enemy of it because you deny its completeness. You deny its effectiveness. And I once thought the same way you did. That's why I have a heart for you. I'm coming down hard on you, but that's because there's not much time left. I'm like an emergency vehicle operator. This is 911 time. There's no time for polite questions. Like, we got to slap a tourniquet on the bleeding, hit you with a electrified paddles, and like bring you to life. Trying to slap you into sense. I know it's a rough way to go, I know, but there's not much time. But you will remember this at the great white throne. And so will Ray Comfort. If he ever sees this, he won't see it. Oh, boy. I want to give a shout out to... I want to give a shout out to Whiskey Mystic. You know, he's a part of our group, really. And I like him. I like him. He's a decent guy. I used to at the beginning read his comments, and then I realized he was a new ager. He was mocking us, mocking me, trying to get us to get off the word of God. I mean, he's a new ager. Doesn't believe that the Spirit comes by reading the word of God. Comes from within. I don't know. And I was shocked to read that he hopes that he's teaching some people some things. You're not, Whiskey. I mean, you're entertaining. You're a hell of a writer. And you're amusing. And I like that you're here. And I don't want you to leave. But if you left, I'd be like, okay. Because nobody's, like, you're just a source of amusement. Like, of how some of us used to think, but you're not going to convince anyone to take their attention away from the Word of God. The Word of God that was recorded for us. You won't know anything about Jesus Christ if it weren't written down, and that you poo-poo the Scriptures. And you make some comments with the assumption that we're all stupid. But then once in a while you say some nice thing, like you said, good to see you're looking better, Zender, which I said, thank you. I appreciate that. Like I say, I feel like you're part of the gang. I really don't want you to go. I skip over your comments most of the time, but when I do stop to read them, I like to see By a Fire and other people challenging you, but you're not educating anyone here. So I don't want you to think that you are. So if that's why you're here, to educate anybody and bring us out of our deception of relying on the Word of God, you're wasting your time. But if you're here for, you know, I don't know, there's something about the show you like, and people like you as a person. I like you as a person. So keep hanging around. But don't be under the illusion that you're educating anyone here. I don't mean for that to hurt, but and there's Colin Wablinski's at it again. Colin Wablinski, our resident Christian. Colin Wablinski says, Ray Comfort's teaching about the law is correct. What, that we're supposed to use the law to bring people to an acknowledgement of their sin when it only came to one nation? Martin Zender's contempt for the law is incorrect. Martin Zender's contempt for the law? Dude, you miss a lot. Do you even watch the video? I don't have contempt for the law. I just said the law only came to one nation. Nobody else got the law of Moses. Nobody else. Nobody. Nobody. Israel got the law. That's it. Was I wrong? Do you want to contest that? And find anywhere that I have contempt for the law. I called it a dispensation of condemnation and death, but I was quoting the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 and 9. Law is, but this is a dispensation of condemnation and death in the hands of human beings. But Paul also says in Romans chapter 7 that he admires law with his mind. The law is perfect. It's the law of God. It's perfect. It's just that flesh and blood is unable to live up to the law, to do the law. It's not contempt for it. What do you make this stuff? Oh, you're a Christian. You're a Christian. I keep having to tell myself that you're a Christian. And then Colin says this. MZ never bothers to explain why he completely ignores the perfectly clear dictate of Scripture that, quote, judgment begins in the house of God. That verse clearly demolishes his escapist rapture fantasy at a stroke. Oh, you've done it, Colin Wablinski. You've done it. You have single-handedly destroyed 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7 through 13 in one stroke. Congratulations. This is not my escapist rapture fantasy. It's Paul's clear declaration in 1 Thessalonians 4. You think you've demolished that? It wasn't my idea that those who are alive at the coming of Christ will rise to meet the Lord in the air. They will be made immortal on their feet. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Thereupon we, the living who are remaining, shall at the same time be snatched away. You call that an escapist rapture fantasy. I call it 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You complete person who ignores everything I've said over the last 33 years. You've been around a while. I never bother to explain why I ignore the judgment begins in the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17. Anything coming to you, Colin? Anything. Wablinski, anything coming to you? 1 Peter 4:17. Have you ever heard me say that there are two gospels? Have you ever heard that? There are two gospels in the Greek scriptures. Gospel to the circumcision. Gospel to the uncircumcision. Galatians 2, 7. What I said yesterday, if you listen carefully, but I keep forgetting you're a Christian, I'm sorry, is that we do not come into judgment. Members of the body of Christ do not come into judgment. Christ took our judgment for us, so we do not come into any judgment whatsoever. Judgment begins in the house of God. Where'd you read that? 1 Peter 4:17. Is Peter in the body of Christ? No. God judges Israel. They are not justified like we in the body of Christ are. They are forgiven of their sins, but that forgiveness is contingent upon them forgiving other people. That is not my gospel. It's not the gospel of the body of Christ. Our gospel is justification. Nothing to do with forgiving other people. It's nice. We should forgive other people. I forgive you. I forgive Lorna Zach. I forgive Whiskey Mystic. Slanders me every other day. I got broad shoulders. It's Whiskey Mystic. He's a good guy. Funny guy. Good writer. Slanders me every other day. Insults the shit out of me. Hey, I'm not asking him to leave. But he shouldn't get the idea that he's educating anyone here. He's not educating anyone. And Colin Wablinski, you're certainly not educating anyone. It's my hope to educate you, but that hope is dwindling away by the second.